Chapter 16. Out plain to me all you mean? Why you missed last night, and must now away as another has come between. O woman so mocking in mood and mean, so be it. I replied. And if I am due at a differing scene before the dark has died, 'tis that, unresting, to wonder why it has ever been my plight, and at least I have met you at Kremlin side, if not last eve, tonight. Who gets small rest, that dread I quite, and so do I, maybe, though there's a rest hit safe from sight elsewhere awaiting me. A mad star crossed the sky to the sea, wasting in sparks as it streamed, and when I looked to where stood she, yes, he had changed, much changed, it seemed. The sparks of the star in her pupils gleamed, she was vague as a vapor now, and ere of its meaning I had dreamed she'd vanished I knew not how. I stood on, long, each cliff-top bough, like a cynic nodding there, moved up and down, though no man's brow, but mine met the wayward air. Still stood I, wholly unaware of what had come to pass, or had brought the secret of my new fair to my old love, alas. I went down then by crag, and grasped to the boat wherein I had come. Said the man with the oars, his news of the lass of Edgecombe is sharp for some. Yes. Found this daybreak, stiff and numb on the shore here, whither she'd sped to meet her lover last night in the glum, and he came not, 'tis said. And she leapt down, heart hit. Pity she's dead. So much for the faithful bent. I looked, and again a star overhead shot through the firmament. She who saw not, did you see something within the house, that made me call you before the red sun setting? Something that all this common scene endows with a rich and impress there can be no forgetting? I have found nothing to see there, O sage, that should have made you urge me to enter, nothing to fire the soul, or the sense to win. I rate you as a rare misrepresenter. Go anew, lady, in by the right. Well. Why does your face not shine like the face of Moses? I found no moving thing there save the light, and shadow flung on the wall by the outside roses. Go yet once more, pray. Look on a seat. I go. O sage, it's only a man that sits there with eyes on the sun. Mute, average head to feet. No more? Oh more. Just one the place befits there, as the rays reach in through the open door, and he looks at his hand, and the sun glows through his fingers, while he's thinking thoughts whose tenor is no more to me than the swaying rose tree shade that lingers. No more. And years drew on and on till no sun came, dank fogs the house enfolding, and she saw inside, when the form in the flesh had gone, as a vision what as he had missed when the real beholding. The old workman, why are you so bent down before your time, old mason? Many have not left their prime so far behind at your age, and can still stand full upright at will. He pointed to the mansion front hard by, and to the stones of the quoin against the sky, those upper blocks, he said, that there you see, it was that ruined me. There stood in the air up to the parapet crowning the corner height, the stones as set by him ashlar whereon the gales might drum for centuries to come. I carried them up, he said, by a ladder there, the last was as big a load as I could bear, but on I heaved, and something in my back moved, as twere with a crack. So I got crooked. I never lost that sprain. And those who live there, walled from wind and rain by freestone that I lifted, do not know that my life's sake came so. They don't know me, or even know my name, but good I think it, somehow, all the same to have kept them safe from harm, and right and tight, though it has broke me quite. Yes, that I fixed it firm up there I am proud, facing the hail and snow and sun and cloud, and to stand storms for ages, beating round when I lie underground. The sailor's mother, whence do you come, figure in the night fog that chills me numb? I come to you across from my house up there, and I don't mind the brine mist clinging to me that blows from the quay, for I heard him in my chamber, and thought you unaware. But what did you hear, that brought you blindly knocking in this middle watch so drear? My sailor son's voice asked, "We're calling at your door, and I don't mind my bare feet clammy on the stones, and the blight to my bones, for he only knows of this house I lived in before. Oh, but he's nigh, woman like a skeleton, with socket sunk eye. Ah, nobody's nigh. And my life is drearisome, and this is the old home we loved in many a day, before he went away, and the salt fog mocks me. And nobody's come. From oh please his wife." Outside the casement, a reminiscence of the war. We sat in the room, and praised her whom we saw in the portico shade outside. She could not hear what was said of her, but smiled, for its purport we did not hide. Then in was brought that message, fraught with evil fortune for her out there, whom we loved that day more than any could say, and would fain have fenced from a waft of care. And the question pressed like lead on each breast, should we cloak the tidings, or call her and tell? It was too intense a choice for our sense, as we pondered and watched her, we loved so well. Yea, spirit failed us at what assailed us. How long, while seeing what soon must come, should we counterfeit no knowledge of it, and stay the stroke, that would blanch and numb? And thus, before forevermore joy left her, we practiced to beguile her innocence, when she now and again looked in, and smiled us another smile. The passer-by 50. H recalls her romance. He used to pass, well trimmed and brushed, my window every day, and when I smiled on him he blushed, that youth, quite as a girl might, aye, in the shyest way. Thus often did he pass hereby, that youth of bounding gait, until the one who blushed was I, and he became, as here I sate, my joy, my fate. And now he passes by no more, that youth I loved too true. I grieve should he, as here of yore, pass elsewhere, seated in his view, some maiden new. If such should be, alas for her. He'll make her feel him dear, become her daily comforter, then tire him of her bodious gear, and disappear. I was the midmost of my world, when first I frisked me free, for though within its circuit gleamed, but a small company, and I was immature, they seemed to bend their looks on me. She was the midmost of my world, when I went further forth, and hence it was that, whether I turned to south, east, west, or north, beams of an all-day pole star burned from that new axe of earth. Where now is midmost in my world? I trace it not at all. No midmost shows it here, or there, when wistful voices call we are fain. We are fain. From everywhere on earth's bewildering ball. A sound in the night, Woodsford Castle. 17. What do I catch upon the night wind, husband? What is it sounds in this house so eerily? It seems to be a woman's voice. Each little while I hear it, and it much troubles me. 'Tis but the eaves dripping down upon the plinth slopes, letting fancies worry thee. Sure 'tis a foolish thing, when we were uncoupled half an hour before the noontide, and now it's but evening. Yet seems it still a woman's voice outside the castle, husband, and 'tis cold to-night, and rain beats, and this is a lonely place. Didst thou fathom much of womankind in travel or adventure ere ever thou sawest my face? It may be a tree, bride, that rubs his arms acris-wise, if it is not the eaves drip upon the lower slopes, or the river at the bend, where it whirls about the hatches like a creature that sighs and mopes. Yet it still seems to me like the crying of a woman, and it saddens me much that, so piteous a sound on this my bridal night, when I would get agone from sorrow, should so ghost-like wander round. To satisfy thee, love, I will strike the flint and steel then, and set the rush candle up, and undo the door, and take the new horn lantern, that we bought upon our journey, and throw the light over the moor. He struck a light, and breached and booted in the further chamber. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.